It's a classic heist setup. The team, an underdog group of outcasts trying to snatch some money from the man. The target, one of the most secure financial institutions in the world.
80 feet below Manhattan, they have gold bars stored from, it's not only American gold, but it's from governments all around the world. So by the same token, they also hold digital cash for governments all around the world. One of those governments is the Bangladesh Central Bank.
The plan?
They first hacked into the Bangladesh Central Bank, and then they requested the money that the New York Federal Reserve holds on behalf of Bangladesh.
And it worked!
And one of what I think is one of the largest bank heists against an American bank, they got $81 million.
Any questions?
Could be a great Hollywood movie, except this really happened in February of 2016. The mark was the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, and the team is the elite hacking arm of the North Korean intelligence agency, also known as the RGB. Patrick Nguyen is the Asia correspondent for PRI's The World and Global Post Investigations, and he's been digging into how they operate.
The RGB is the Reconnaissance General Bureau of North Korea. And this is their equivalent to the CIA or MI6 or KGB. But there's a little splash of Yakuza thrown in because they don't just spy on their enemies. They don't just pull off assassinations, the type of things that other foreign intelligence bureaus do. They also have a vast network of organized crime. They make money in the underworld. In the past, they've had experience in producing heroin, counterfeiting $100 bills. They have produced counterfeit cigarettes. But now all that is totally eclipsed by their hacking. They've assembled some of the best hackers in the world.
And the goal of this hacking, I'm going to assume, is to make some money, right?
Of course, to make some money, but also to make up from the money that they've lost from sanctions. The U.S., the U.N. shuts North Korea out of the global financial system. And North Korea says, okay, fine, you want to do that? We will hack your global financial system and get our money back. One South Korean analyst I talked to said that he thinks in the last few years they've gotten $650 million from hacking banks around the world. Now, they don't just pick on the U.S. Actually, often they pick on banks in parts of the world where the banks have less security. They really like to pick on Southeast Asian banks because they can get away with it.
You actually met a couple of North Korean defectors who said they used to be involved in the RGB's hacking team. Let's talk about Jung Se-ul. Who is Mr. Jung?
I would have loved to have talked to someone who was an actual hacker with this foreign intel bureau, but the closest I got was Mr. Jung. Mr. Jung worked for the bureau. He says that he actually was working on computer software running war games simulations. So he wasn't a hacker per se, but he worked alongside hackers. And what I mostly got from him is why someone in North Korea would want to be a hacker so badly, all the cachet around wanting to be what he called a cyber expert.
그렇죠. 이게 북한도 정보 산업의 시대라고 현 시대는 정보 시대, 전자전 시대라는 이런.
If you become the cyber expert in North Korea, you can be treated as the senior manager in a communist party. So there's a very strong incentive. The boys and the men have a dream to go this path.
And you met another defector named Kim Hung Wang. Who is he and what did you learn from him?
Mr. Kim was actually a little bit more forthcoming, although a little bit more distant from the RGB. He was working at a military university that was training soldiers to be, to go into all facets of the military, but some of them were going into the Foreign Intelligence Bureau to learn hacking. And what he did is he taught them how computer networks work, kind of the basics. Then later they would go into the bureau and they would learn how to infiltrate networks abroad. And he also reiterated, you know, if you're a young North Korean, and I have to say males, because I don't have any evidence that they're letting females become hackers. If you're a young North Korean male out in the countryside, the best thing that you can do, if you happen to be brainy and smart, is to try and get trained up as a hacker, because it will totally change your life. You will get to move to Pyongyang, the capital. You will get these amazing perks, like electricity around the clock and hot water whenever you want it. You will get food perks. You get to eat bananas. Only very elite North Koreans get to eat tropical fruit. And moreover, you may even get to leave the country and go to China or India or another country where the web speeds are much faster and you can actually do your job because, as you might imagine, internet speeds in Pyongyang, not so great.
So this is essentially a career path for some North Koreans?
It's the career path. Imagine you are some kid that grew up, you know, pulling radishes out of the ground, and now you've taken part in a heist that has earned the state millions of dollars. You are a hero. You are highly valued. You're going to be treated very well. The entire economy of North Korea is only $28 billion. That's roughly on par with Gary, Indiana, which already is not a very wealthy city in the United States. So a few million dollars can really make a difference for the state's coffers.
So let's talk about what these hackers could actually influence. Could they come into play during all these negotiations that we're seeing between North Korea, the U.S., and South Korea, for worse, for better?
As with all things North Korea, I have to enter the realm of speculation here. So my guess is that for the time being, they will call off any major hacks, any really big, embarrassing hacks, because they don't want to threaten these negotiations. However, if the negotiations go south, if the sanctions remain in place, if North Korea still feels like it's really hurting and it's an injustice because how dare these, you know, imperialists keep us from getting the money that we deserve, then they will go forth and do more hacking. You talk to these defectors, and I don't think that they're wrong. North Korea has amassed some of the best hacking units in the world, and they've pulled off some really major successes in the last few years.
Snowden, yes. Snowden,
well, they're at least as good as Edward Snowden. They're the geniuses of North Korea. People say America has the best government hackers. Russia is number two, China is number three. But tell me, honestly, is anyone pulling off as many hacking operations as North Korea?
What impact is this having on my bank account, or would it have an impact on my bank account? Are everyday Americans potentially at risk here?
Sure. One way in which everyday Americans have been at risk already is through an attack called WannaCry. You may remember that this was in the news last year. This is an attack on Microsoft computers that locks your computer up, and if you want to get your computer unlocked, then you have to send Bitcoin to an address, and that address is run by North Korean hackers. So I'm not exactly sure how much money they made from doing that, but it affected 200,000 computers around the world, including computers in the United States.
Patrick Nguyen is the Asia correspondent for PRI and Global Post Investigations, and he's also the author of the forthcoming book, Hello Shadowlands, about organized crime in Southeast Asia. Patrick, thank you so much for your insights.
Thank you, Tanzina.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.